Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
We wrestle, yet not alone. We have been studying about praying in the battle. It's basically about spiritual warfare. Now, we left off last week talking about Daniel. How many of you remember anything about Daniel? Daniel was a pretty good guy, right? He had an excellent spirit in him. He lived in a place where they worshiped a multitude of gods. In fact, it was the place that later we see they build this statue that's 90 feet tall, that's representative of the king. And the king says, bow to my statue, bow to my image. It was really an egocentric kingdom. They had captured Israel and carried them away captive. How many of you feel like you're in a strange land sometimes? So Daniel, he was had been reading the prophet Jeremiah is how this all started. And we didn't read the previous chapter last week. And as he was reading the prophet Jeremiah, he knew that God was about to do something. Because Jeremiah had told Israel, listen, you're going into captivity if you don't obey God. But at the end of 70 years, you're going to be released from captivity. So Daniel's thinking, well, time's about up. I've got to find out what God's doing. And I've been there before. As God's prophesied, told us, promised us things. And we say, okay, when? We stick our finger up and see if the wind's blowing and say, God, what's going on? And so he was wanting to know what was going on. So God gave him a vision through Gabriel. Gabriel came and gave him a vision, and he didn't understand the vision. So that is what motivated him to begin to fast. So he was looking for some answers. So he's looking for answers. He's praying. And then what I want us to see is in verse number 13 and 14, it says this, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. So Gabriel comes back after 21 days of Daniel fasting, and he says, I tried to get here, but somebody was pushing me back, the prince of Persia. In other words, the dark prince of Persia. And by the way, those princes are still in charge right now. They're still in location. But the beautiful thing about it is, and I want you to think about this, and I may preach a sermon on it, angels never die. Do you know the angel that shut the mouth of the lion in Daniel's lion den? He's still around. The angels that loosed the shackles off of Peter when he was in prison and let him out to the street, they're still around. So we worry about the devil. And we should, but God's angelic hosts know what they're doing. They've been at this for as long as the enemy's minions have been at it. And they're outnumbered 2-1. So we have this understanding that there's a warfare going. And when we pray, there's angels fighting. And when we pray, we don't command God, but we ask God, and he commands the angels, and they go. So he's praying for answers, and God says, okay, Gabriel, go back and tell him what this dream was all about. And then in the next verse, verse number 13, he says, now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. So Daniel gets an answer, and he realizes that this was what God wanted for his people. I want you to notice that Daniel was not complaining to God about the culture of his day. He didn't go to fast to say, God, I'm going to fast until my culture changes. Guess what? The culture of our world may never change. The Bible says it'll wax worse and worse. Yeah. But he wanted to know what God's plan was for his people. So when we fast and pray, it's God, what is your plan for us? What can we do about these circumstances that we're in? So God didn't, Daniel wasn't a whiny baby. You know, it's just like, oh God, not today. And sometimes I find myself going to God and complaining. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because I don't want a wave going on here. But sometimes we do that. Yeah, it's like, God, why me? Why now? How come here? Well, how would you have liked to have been born in the Middle Ages? No showers? No indoor plumbing? And no hospitals? The conquistadors come through and say, are you a part of this religion? No, you're dead. He was not trying to fix Babylon. We're not trying to fix our world. We're trying to lead people to Jesus. There's a difference, isn't it? Now, if we could win enough people to Jesus, it would fix the world, right? We could have some critical mass. And he wasn't trying to change who was king. Now, all of these things are things that we'd like to see change sometimes, you know? But that's not why he was fasting. He wasn't saying, oh, God, kill the king. Oh, God, wipe out Babylon. You live there, Daniel. And he wasn't in some kind of fatalistic mindset. You know what fatalism is? It's where you think it's going bad, and so you make it happen. It's like, I know I'm going to run off the road. I'm just going to run off the road. That's fatalistic, is that when we get so fixed on what is wrong that we become a part of the problem, or we get so fixed on what could go wrong that we almost help it along. He just wanted to understand what would happen to God's people. And this answer would define his purpose. So as we continue to talk about spiritual warfare, and thank you for coming back for this lesson, what we're going to ask God is, what is our purpose? God, we see the sin in our world. We see the deceitfulness. We see all of the things that are going on that are perverse and twisted and are not godly and maybe even are destroying the fabric of our country and certainly the moral fabric of our society. There's a lot of things being pushed that are destroying the moral fabric of our society. But we can't stop that. Only God can stop that. But we can rescue one soul. We can witness to the barista. We can bring our neighbor, our friend, our co-worker to the house of God. And some of you have been online lately. I asked Sister Melissa how her friend came to church that was here Sunday. Susie, she's been here twice. She says, oh, we met online somehow. Couldn't even tell you how. But somehow she was using social media for a positive. And we can whine about all the negativity of social media and we're getting locked out and all the wrong. But look, somebody's in church because social media was there. So you and I can just say, God, how do I fit in this scheme? What can I do to further your kingdom? So this Babylon's excluded in the vision he has. It's about Israel. It's about the 70 years of Israel or the 7,000 years of God dealing with Israel. It's about the timeline of God's people because that's really all it's about. And I'm not trying to be cruel or insensitive, but those that don't follow Christ Jesus, when this world is over, they're in bondage. They're in the bottomless pit. But those who are God's people will rule and reign with him over the new heavens and the new earth forever and ever and ever. We've got a purpose beyond this existence. We got a purpose outside of the United States of America or our government. We have a kingdom that we're a part of. And so we are wrestling, but we are not alone. When you are praying, and if you are praying correctly, you are not alone. Pastor Anthony posted something recently about the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Sometimes we've got to be willing to be the answer to our prayer. God, send revival. Well, get out there and try to find somebody, and maybe I can fill them with the Holy Ghost. Right? Says, God, we need financial blessings in the church. Well, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Oh, I can be a participant in this. Okay, we got to answer those prayers. God, I want revival. Oh, well, then I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be engaged so that there is a good spirit or an atmosphere in the church. So we wrestle, but not alone. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples who did not even yet have the Holy Ghost when he sent them out two by two, the 70. we read this: "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." We have a defined purpose. Just as they were sent, we've been sent. Go cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. Speak with new tongues. Don't worry. If you get bitten by something poisonous, just shake it off into the fire like Paul did. Oh God, I got to have my speech ready in case the authorities come and arrest me. No, don't worry about that. I'll put the words in your mouth and I'll tell you what to say when the time comes. That's the word. But we have a purpose. Jesus didn't say, oh, go and build your houses. Go and get rich. Go and get a big retirement account. And I'm not against any of that. He didn't say, go spend your life trying to pay off the bills. Or live by the axiom, he who dies with the most toys wins. He's still dead, folks. You know, it just doesn't matter. But we have a kingdom that we're a part of. Isn't that what we wanted, is a place to belong? Isn't it great to belong in the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
I want you all to look around at each other. Anybody see anybody that looks like them? Kinda. Not exactly. You know, they say when a man and woman lives long enough together, they start to look alike. My poor wife, if it turns wrong, I'll have an ugly wife, but she's beautiful. You know, so, and I'm ugly. Thank you. Amen. we're a family, but it's not because we look alike. It's not because we have the same ethnicity. It's not because we all work at the same place or the same IQ level or EQ or emotional quotient, they call it now. They're trying to measure that instead of your intelligence quotient. It's not because we're all equal. No, it's because we found a purpose. We found salvation at the foot of the cross. We found cleansing. We are all pure and clean before Him and set apart for His use. Amen. So we're all defined with the same purpose. So we have a purpose. And one of the things that we do and one of the weapons that we use is prayer. There's power in prayer. And when you and I pray, we have the power to remain free. I have found that prayer is more about changing me than it is about changing God. At least if I'll keep my mouth shut during my prayer time a little bit. And prayer isn't just reading off a list of our Father or whatever we say. It's stopping and then listening. God, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about? Shut up and I'll tell you. That's what I feel like God tells me sometimes. I just think God talks to me like I talk to Him sometimes. You know, He's got to get my attention. Now, He might say to you, oh, sweetheart, that's not the way it is. It's like, but probably for most of you, that's not the way God talks to you. So there's power in prayer to remain free, and there's power in prayer to free others that are in bondage. We can pray that God would open the eyes of those that are blinded, that He would put them in a place where they would see His glory. And you know what I found out? It's more effective to pray for people that they will see light rather than see that they're walking in darkness. Because it's when we see the light that we realize we were walking in darkness. Most people don't have to be told they're a sinner. They need to know how to find a Savior. And we don't need to go out to our world and say, you're sinners, you're sinners, you're sinners. No, we say Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And that's why a lot of times people are very easy to influence to come to God when they're at their lowest. Because they know they got a problem. And people come to the Lord when they are struggling. We also have the power in prayer to plunder the house of the enemy. And we're going to go over that this week and also in 2 weeks, because next week is our busy week. And we also have power to reach beyond the flames of hell that lick about the perishing soul. And we're going to talk about that at the end of this lesson today. So we're going to go into the epistles. Do you know what the epistles are? letters to the churches, okay? So anything beyond the book of Romans in the New Testament is written to the church. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels. Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. And by the way, it covers about 60 years. So don't think they had all that kind of revival in 2 weeks. And we get impatient, at least I do, with God and say, well, look what happened here, 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 and here. And he says, yeah, they waded through some stuff to get to that. But God is working on our side. And then you can read to the church at Colossae, to the saints scattered abroad, to the church at Rome. So we're going to read in Colossians what Paul had to say to the church at Colossae. Now, remember, Paul is the guy that was named what? And what was his mission in life? Yeah, he was cutting down the believers, right? The greatest proponents of the gospel of Jesus Christ were the greatest opponents. They've been won over. Is that all of a sudden they saw that this is a better way. This is the way I need to live. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He was going to put people in jail so they could be killed. He was going to squash the people of the way or the church or those who later become known as Christians. They were believers. They were disciples of Christ. When he gets to Colossians, in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 16, he says, for everything... absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him, Christ, and finds its purpose in him. The only way we're going to try and find our true purpose is in him. And we mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Satan's true purpose was to lead worship and lead the angels in worship. But he decided, I don't want to fulfill the purpose that God has for me. I want to be like him. And he says, well, no, that's not what it is, so you got to leave. If we want to be a part of the kingdom of God and fruitful, we've got to say, God, what is my purpose? And I'm not trying to pick on people, but Sunday I mentioned to Brother David, he's worshiping. I said, yeah, that's the way I want guys to worship. Now, we're all built different, but he's out here in the aisle going like, yeah. Why? Because one of his purposes is to worship God. Amen. And when he worships God, there's a few other people that might move a Twinkie or a Pinky. We say, you know, we are generators, right? You ever known anybody that just had a cloud over their head? They're like Eeyore. How are you? Well, I don't know. And then there's some, they're like, T-I-double-G-R. And everything in between. We all have purpose in the kingdom of God. We all have a specific purpose. Now, we all have a purpose to reach the lost, but we do that together. Everybody say together. Yeah. Together. I can't do this without you, and you can't do this without me. We work together to reach the lost. And this is the cool thing, is you watch the church work, somebody invites somebody to church, they come, somebody else prays with them at the altar, somebody else befriends them, somebody else teaches them a Bible study, and it's a whole group effort. We work together to see that people get what they need from the Lord Jesus Christ. But our purpose is in Jesus, in him. It doesn't matter what thing there is that exists, its purpose is in him. So the Word of God declares the limits of authority and how they are reaffirmed and who exercises their bounds. So all of that's declared by him. He says, okay, here's your authority. Here's the limit of your authority. And here's the authority over you. Here's your boundaries. And here's the rules you've got to use to use that authority. And I'm not trying to get political about this, but you know, the police, they have guidelines. Anybody have guidelines at your work? You know? Yeah, I hope so. You back in, you pull out, right? When you're driving truck, right? You don't pull in and back out. You back in and you pull out. Why? Because you're cautious. You're in a hurry when you're leaving, and you might run somebody over, so you just... you honk your horn, you back up slowly, you look around real quick. Yeah, And we all have guidelines at our work. And God has guidelines for us. There's limits that He has for you and I. We can't live just however we want to live and have the authority that He has delegated to us. And really, authority is commensurate with submission, right? You ever had somebody say, oh, well, they kept offering me jobs where I used to work and says, well, why don't you do this? And I say, show me the money. Why? Well, it's more responsibility. If I have more responsibility, show me the money. And there was one job they wanted me to do, and I knew it was too many hours. I said, you know, I'm here to start a church. You're going to have to show me a lot of money, and I'm not working that many hours. And so eventually they understood is that, you know, there's got to be a balance. If I'm going to give you more responsibility, I should remunerate you or I should compensate you. But then they expected more of me too. And if we want to do great things for God, we've got to submit in a great way to Him. We die out to ourselves. Isn't that what Paul did? We talked about him, and he's smitten down on the road, bright light, and he can't see and at first, and he's wondering what's going on. Hey, who art thou, Lord? Well, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. You're going the wrong way. It's hard for you. You're kicking against the sticker bushes. You're not going to get anywhere. It's going to hurt every time. What do you want me to do? Oh, go into the city and you wait, and there's going to be somebody that's going to come tell you what to do. Here's the guy that was telling everybody what to do and where to go. And he's saying, now you get to be told what to do. And so, well, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto thee, by the way, has sent me to tell you all the great things you're going to suffer for His kingdom. But you're going to take His name before kings and governors. And He says, okay, I'll do that. You see, we want to hear it in our culture is pumping this thing. Oh, if you'll just accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have a new Bentley. No, that's not the way it works. If you'll just receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have the nicest house on the block. And if you don't, something's wrong. You must be sinning. No, God didn't call us to bless us. He called us to feed His kingdom. The blessings are in the life to come. We're laying up treasures in the time to come. We're putting away for our eternal retirement, if you please. And it's going to come back with interest. And that's what we're living for. But Paul said, okay, I'll do that. So he laid down his life. And we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, his resume. Oh, I was beaten 3 times within an inch of my life. A day and a night I've spent in the deep, in peril among robbers, in peril among false brethren. I went through all this stuff. You know, they left me for dead. But that's all right. It's cool. I just want Him to be glorified. But because he submitted greatly, he impacted greatly, and he wrote at least half of the New Testament, and he went on 4 missionary journeys and established 8 churches as far as we know, and maybe more. And some of them, as we said a couple weeks ago, Ephesus had probably 60,000 people in it by the time it reached its peak. So God determines the boundaries. So remember, when we go out there on a prayer walk this Saturday, God determines the boundaries. And we don't want to just say, devil, here we are, 92nd and Flavel. No, We got a prayer guide for you. You just go out. You know, sometimes just being seen is enough. Here's the proof. I don't know why it's an automatic reaction when people see a cop sitting beside the highway. Their brakes go on. Do I have a witness? And then you look to see how fast you were going. What is that? Why? Because there's the presence of that guy. And you know he's got that radar pointed at you. And you're thinking, oh no, here we are. I'm caught. And then you're going, what? I'm doing 10 miles an hour under the speed limit. Why did I brake? I've had to condition myself not to do that. But there are some things that we just automatically do. And when you and I just show up, that says something to the enemy. When you just show up to church, that says something to the enemy. When you open your Bible and begin to read and study it, that says something to the powers of darkness. When you walk out into that world and you live righteously and godly and soberly in this present world, it says something to the enemy. It says, hey, there's a soldier out there. Brother Michael was saying that it's going to rain Saturday, he says, but they told him in the military, Soldier, it doesn't rain on you, it rains around you. You know, you just got to get in that mindset is that, well, okay. They had to. Why? Because you're marching, dude. Rain, shine. It doesn't matter. You're worse. You're better than the post office, for sure. We're marching. Just showing up says something to the enemy. Well, that's why the scripture says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, et cetera, which we're going to talk about in a few weeks. So showing up and doing what God tells you to do is a big thing. So when we walk down that street, we're going to pray prayers that are right. We're just going to show up and we're going to be what God wants us to be. So let's see what happened when Jesus died on the cross and how he reasserted his authority. Now we know that from Moses until Christ, there were sacrifices offered, but they only rolled the sin ahead because there had to be a perfect sacrifice. But Jesus says this in John chapter number 12 and verse number 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Remember, Peter says, I ain't going to kill you over my dead body. Right. Chicken. Jesus says, no, I came into this world. This is the reason I came. Remember when Peter took out his sword and he cut off the ear of the high priest? I think it's just because he was a bad shot. And that's probably the only guy that didn't have a sword to defend himself. The priest would have, but the servant wouldn't have. And what does Jesus do? He says, put it away, reaches down, picks up the ear, licks it, sticks it back on. Well, that's the way I see it. You wouldn't want dirt stuck in there when he hears it, right? It's just, he said, he that lives by the sword dies by the sword. He said, no, that's not the way we're going to win this, Peter. You see, we think that if we just show bravado, we feel like we're the guy in the, we're dancing around the ring. Yeah, I'm going to get you. You know, it's not how you show up at the wrestling match and how bad you are and how much trash talk you give to somebody. You just got to hit them right when the time is right. You got to be ready. But we can do some things just consistently that will prepare us for the battle. You guys showing up here at church and worshiping God, that's spiritual warfare. Because we're exalting the name of Jesus. I know this scripture, he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He was talking about Calvary, but if you and I exalt Jesus, that's what gets the attention of people. It's not about them seeing me. It's about them seeing him. You know, he's the one in charge here. That's one of the reasons we try to be modest on the platform and not showy. It's not about the glitz and the glamour. It's about the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It's about truth and spirit. That's what it's about. It's not about humanity. And so this is spiritual warfare. So he says, I'll draw all men unto me. Listen to what it says in the Message translation. At this moment, the world is in crisis. Now, Satan, the ruler of this world, will be thrown out. So in Luke 10, before Calvary, before they'd received the Holy Ghost, he said, go do all these miraculous things. But then now he's saying, he's about ready to be thrown out. So he was cast down, but he says, now he's going to be thrown out. You and I have authority only as long as we are submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he's the one that determines the bounds and the habitations. Back to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1 and verse number 16, is speaking of Jesus. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. No wonder he determines the bounds and habitations. You know, when a builder builds something, he determines it's purpose built. You don't build a kitchen cabinet to go in the shop. Now, some of us have stole those for the shop when you remodel the kitchen. No, it's purpose-built. God purpose-built you and I. He created all these thrones and dominions, so he's in charge. The creator gets to decide the purpose of the creation. So you and I don't have to fear the enemy. God has him in check. So what he has given you and I the privilege of doing is working with him to bind and loose some things. We can put the enemy in check, but we can also loose the presence and the Spirit of God. You know, if we turned all the lights out in this room right now and just cursed the darkness and that's all we did, we'd be fools. Because there's a master switch back there that all you have to do is flip it and the light comes on. It's not our job to curse the darkness. It's our job to be lights in this present world. So I could walk around grumbling every day. I hate this place. Hate these people. Bunch of idiots. Don't they know any better? Heathens. Yeah. Well, they may be. But you and I were once too.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like God just to roll back the scroll and give us a movie tonight? No, I don't think so. And he's not going to do that. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for baptism into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, for the payment of sins. It's like paid in full, you know. You know, it's redacted like all the reports that you see in the news, you know. Hey, black that out, black that out. And it says, what do we have? All a bunch of these, thous, thens, and those. You know, what was that about? Well, that's what the enemy looks at us and he can't see anything. And I just happen to have this feeling he's miffed about it. You know, there's some people that they're not willing to work hard enough to get what their neighbor has, but they can sure be jealous that he has what they don't have. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Let's not hate those that have more power. Let's surrender and submit to Jesus Christ so we can have that power and authority. And this is the beautiful thing, and we mentioned something similar before, is those of you that have been delivered from the power of darkness, you have dominion over that specific area in which you used to live. And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord and by the power of our God. So we were. Well, I better not say some of those things because I don't want you to know those people are here. But you name the sin, almost any of it, I've seen it. I baptized my barber. He used to cut me with my hair with a straight razor. You know where he learned it? In the big house. Why was he in the big house? Murder. Bill Hellman, I baptized him in Jesus' name. He got the Holy Ghost. I don't know where he is today. He moved out of town. I have no idea where he is. But God can save a murderer. I mean, we don't want to think about that, but thank God he can. He mentions liars in the book of Revelation, but thank God he forgives murderers, liars too, right? So he goes on to say, God's in control of all this, but then this is about you and I in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So he had authority, and he showed his authority. How? By dying on the cross. Saying, I'm nailing it to the tree. All these ordinances that were against you, all the rigid ceremonial laws, all that's testified. He says, no, that's gone. And then in verse number 57 of 1 Corinthians 15, we read, but thanks to be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. He's given the victory to you and I now. He doesn't just have the victory. We have the victory. We don't have to walk around in fear. And please, hear me. Don't waste your prayer time cursing the darkness. Pray that the light will be loosed. Pray that God will give you the understanding of the purpose of His people in this area, this day, in this generation. We have a mission field. You know why God called us to Portland? They're sinners. He said, the whole need not a physician. You know, you don't go to the doctor when you're feeling good unless you're a hypochondriac and you think you're feeling bad. No, you go to him because you need help from your doctor. You say, I'm hurting, so I'm going to you. It's hurting people that come to Jesus Christ. Somebody jokingly said a few years ago, aren't there any more good sinners? No, there never were. I mean, come on, guys. I know our culture has changed. It's just a bigger journey from where our culture is now to the culture of Christ. Because our culture has let go of so many things, and they're trying to let go of some more things. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. He causes us to triumph. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says. But thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. What God wants us to do is give the fragrance of His knowledge wherever we go. We're light and salt. Thank God for light and salt. It's one of the worst things about being in the hospital. They don't salt the food. And now they're not doing it, and you got to ask for salt when you go to the restaurant because it's not out there. We're salt. Salt brings out the flavor, right? It's not just the salt we taste, but we taste other things because the salt is in the recipe. God said, you're salt and you're light. He didn't say you're cursors of the darkness. He said you're light. He didn't say you go out and scream against the spice of this world. No, you sprinkle the salt all over. It's what we do, not what we don't do, that really matters. God's not keeping a checklist. You know, I thank God that I fast twice in the week. And I give tithes of everything I owe. I even give tithes from the spice garden. I thank God that I'm not like this sinner, this publican, this tax collector. Jesus gave that story. And this guy's over there. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And even the Pharisees were smart enough when he said, who went home justified? The publican. The guy that admitted that he was a sinner. You see, it's not about what we don't do or what we do that appeals to God. It's about being submitted to Him and fulfilling the will and the purpose that He has given to us. But He wants us to be a fragrance in this world. He wants us to give a sweetness to this world. Not go around crabbing about how bad things are. You know, I can find a lot of wrong things in the world. All I have to do is to listen to the early morning news. I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning and I just couldn't quit singing. Song just kind of, you know. Anything, God can do anything but fail. And it just kept rolling over. I closed my eyes and there it is again. Closed my eyes. There it is again. Why? Because I quote, you listen, and sometimes I do, but most of the time I don't listen to the news. I just get up and I turn my playlist on. My wife was kind enough to get me some speakers for the shower and just get in and push it, and then boom, bah, boom. Fills the whole room with, God can't do any. TMI, so. And so when I walk out of the house, that's where I'm going. That's what I'm working toward. If you stand with me, because my timer just went off. You heard it, didn't you? God has given us authority. Listen to Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 5. This is John the Revelator. He says, and I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Where was he at? He was in exile, right? It's where they sent all the political prisoners, the people that disagreed with the government. They sent them away. And they'd already tried to boil them oil, and that didn't work, so they just said, let's just get rid of this guy, John the Beloved, you know? The guy that was the one that loved God, the guy that was trustworthy enough and close enough to Jesus at the cross that he looked at him and he says, woman, behold thy son and behold thy mother. And he gave custody of his mother to John the Revelator, or John the Beloved. And now John is getting this message from this angel. And when, you know, he doesn't even want to look up, but, you know, he finally is able to look up by a little encouragement. And 1:5 says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins and his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's made you and I kings and priests to his God. You know, in the Old Testament, it was just priests first, and God wanted a theocracy, and then they begged for kings, and God gave them kings. Well, we're kings and priests. There's only one person that got away with being king and acting like a priest that was a king. And he did it before he was a king, and that was David, when he ate at the table of showbread, when he was running from King Saul, when he was being chased. But if we're kings and priests, that means that we have authority and dominion in the spirit world and on this earth. We talked about it, that there are principalities and powers. We read about the princes of this world, right? We're not just princes. We're kings. So, who has more authority? The king or the prince? I think it's obvious to you and I, in our culture and understanding of cultures of monarchies, it's the king that has ultimate authority. God has given us authority and shared his authority with us. And we're going to talk about how to appropriate that authority. But I just want to leave you with something tonight out of the book of Jude. Verse 19 says this. It's talking about those that are backslidden. It says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, how many have heard anything negative about the government lately? How many have heard that the devil's on the prowl? That immorality's on the rise? I mean, we could be fearful, and I'm just going to say it here. I got this button. It says, I love my city. My wife says, do you really? Yes. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for my city. I didn't move to Portland because it was beautiful. I moved to Portland because God said, there's a mission there. Now, it's beautiful. Yes, there's some trouble, but who's going to help? If you and I can reach the lost, it could change the environment of our city. There was a time in the 1930s, well, in the teens in this city, there was huge prostitution rings because of the ports. There was drugs, opium dens all over the place. But there was a revival in the 20s and 30s, and they were shutting businesses down in the middle of the day to have prayer meetings. Because a revival came. Lentz Park area, there was revival. They would meet every day at 2:00 and the businesses would shut down and they'd have a 2-hour prayer meeting over by where Lentz Park is right now. Prayer can change things. And if The reason why I don't listen to too much news is because it takes me down a journey. And you're either going to get discouraged or angry or both and maybe dysfunctional because you're distracted. Daniel didn't get distracted. He wasn't trying to figure out what to do with Babylon. He was saying, what about your people, Lord? Doesn't matter what Babylon does. They're not the promised ones. They're not the ones that have an inheritance. What about us? That's what we want to do is say, God, what about us? What's your purpose for us? And he says, so instead of looking at all the negative, and he lists the negative and he lists these false prophets and stuff in the first part of this chapter, this book of Jude, and he says, but you build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. Why don't you just have a Holy Ghost prayer meeting? And keep yourself in the love of God. He says, you keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I'm not looking for one world government. It's going to come. I'm looking for the return of Jesus Christ. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Lord from heaven above to come down with 10,000s of his angels. I'm not looking to see what's going on here. That's not what I'm captivated by. But I'm going to say, oh, how am I going to keep my attention there? I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to raise my hand to him every day after I have given praise to him. And I'm just going to let other tongues flow out. I'm just going to let the Spirit flow out of me. And if that hasn't happened to you very often, you do that in your prayer closet. Nobody else is around, and you think you're just stuttering and stumbling. Don't worry, nobody's listening but God, and it's all right, and he knows what your heart is saying. And so if we can keep ourselves in the love of God by praying in the Holy Ghost, then we're looking for the mercy of God. So we're not looking for judgment of God on us. We're not looking for judgment of God on the sinners. We're looking for his mercy in the lives of those sinners. And so those people that are out on the street doing things that are unspeakable, we're not waiting for God to judge them. We're waiting for God to deliver them. So maybe we could make a pact that we would pray in the Holy Ghost as often as we can. You can do that every day, you know that? Sometimes I don't do it on my days off. That's tomorrow. But I do it most every day. Why? Because I want God's mind to be in me. I want God's Spirit to be in me. I've got to have him fill my heart with love. Dear Jesus, let your love settle down upon us. Let your grace and your mercy be felt in our spirits. And, oh, Father, may it be that we would be able to keep ourselves in your love, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let your love flow through us. Let your Spirit flow through us so that our mind is taken from the problem of this world unto the mercy that is coming, that we see not the judgment, but the grace that we see.